from KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. The governor nominates a former aide to serve on the Board of Fish. He's little known among commercial fishing folks, but his support of sports fishing over commercial interest in Cook Inlet has some fishermen nervous. We'll take a look at shrimp fishing in southeast Alaska. A lack of data on smelt in the Kuskokwim River has many in southwest Alaska concerned about how barges servicing the proposed Donlin gold mine project will affect that important subsistence fishery. Donlin studies have shown waves from barges can push smelt eggs around. We'll have more on that story coming up in this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy has tapped his former legislative aide to serve on the Board of Fisheries. As KBBI's Aaron Bolton reports from Homer, Matsu Valley resident John Wood is largely unknown by fishing groups.
In the world of Alaska fish politics, John Wood is not a big player.
But most of the response I've heard from UFA members is, who is he? People are not familiar with him.
That's United Fishermen of Alaska's Frances Leach. She says the commercial fishing industry group doesn't know a lot about him.
Well, we haven't had a formal meeting yet to decide anything.
The timing of the appointment, announced Thursday, surprised a lot of people. The seat has been vacant since the legislature declined to confirm Dunleavy's choice of Carl Johnstone, a former Board of Fish member who's been a polarizing figure and a magnet for criticism from commercial fishermen. The next Board of Fish meeting isn't until October, so few expected an alternative so soon. Kodiak Republican Louise Stutes chairs the House Fisheries Committee. She says she had been in touch with the governor's office over the vacancy.
I was told that they were in no hurry to make this appointment, and it would probably be, late summer, early fall. But obviously that's not the case.
So who is John Wood? He's a private practice attorney in Willow and chairs the local branch of the state's Republican Party. As an aide to Senator Mike Dunleavy, he worked on Northern Cook Inlet allocation issues from 2012 to 2014.
Since that point in time, I've served on the Matanuska-Susitna Borough's Board of Fishing Game as well. And between that and the amount of time I spent on it with Senator Dunleavy's office, I got pretty familiar with the issues as they pertain to this region. That doesn't mean I'm up to snuff on other regions of the state, and that's something I'll have to work to catch up on.
He says he supports increasing the amount of fish that swim upriver in areas of Cook Inlet where streams are not at capacity, which would implicitly restrict the commercial harvest and benefit sport fishing. That has commercial fishing groups nervous. United Cook Inlet Drift Association's David Martin has worked with Wood in the past. He says, like Johnstone, Wood puts sport fishing interests first.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate that we keep getting a lot of people on the board of fish that is really in on the politics and allocation instead of the science and biology.
A call to Kenai River Sport Fishing Association was not returned on Thursday afternoon. The Board of Fish sets fishing regulations for commercial, subsistence, and sport fishing in state waters. Wood will go before the legislature for confirmation during next year's regular session. Reporting in Homer, I'm Aaron Bolton.
We'll be right back. The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
And now we turn to Southeast Alaska, which is the state's biggest producer of America's number one seafood favorite, shrimp. Lainey Welch with Alaska Fish Radio has more.
Southeast Alaska is the state's biggest producer of America's number one favorite seafood, shrimp. Four varieties are taken at various times throughout the year by those with permits, with recent catches topping 1.5 million pounds worth nearly $3 million at the docks.
We have like 19 different areas around Southeast, and each one of those areas has whatever is the appropriate harvest level for sustainability.
Dave Harris is area manager at Fish and Game in Juneau. In fact, shrimp trawling is Southeast's longest ongoing fishery since 1915. Beam trawlers target tiny northern or pink shrimp and larger side stripes. Most of the pinks are frozen into blocks and processed elsewhere. The side stripes fetch over $1 a pound from local processors, and lots get sold on the docks for much more. Fewer than 10 boats are in the trawl fishery of late, but Harris says the better-known and more lucrative pot fishery for big spot shrimp and accompanying coon stripes.
2016 was like, 116 fish. The next year, 157. So there is an increased interest in that.
Spot shrimps can fetch $5 to $7 a pound from processors, $10 at the docks, and boats that are rigged to freeze on board get even more.
This is kind of for the Japanese sushi market. They're all graded out by size and put in a kilo box.
Shrimp are protandric hermaphrodites, meaning they start out as males and switch to females after reproducing for a year or two. Harris says the sex switch can make it tricky to manage.
As far as the overall population dynamics, it doesn't really matter when you harvest that shrimp. You're taking away the reproductive potential. That's a key part of the management, which makes it so difficult because it's very easy to overfish shrimp if you're not careful.
It's also been difficult to gauge impacts from personal use shrimp users. To learn more, in 2018, personal use fishery permits were issued for the first time.
That was Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960. Or online at alaskaboat.com.
The May smelt run on the Kuskokwim River heralds the arrival of king salmon and other traditional food. There had been almost no studies on the small fish until Don Lynn Gold proposed building one of the biggest gold mines in the world in the River Delta. The company says the data they've collected will help determine how future barge traffic from the mine will impact the vital smelts. But residents who oppose the mine say the study isn't enough. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Christy Schallenberger has more.
It happens every May. You get a text message or see a Facebook post that the smelts have arrived in Bethel.
Yeah. Little fishy.
Then you run down to the riverbank to fill your bucket with the small fish. You might fry them up later or feed them to your dog. It's a big deal because after the smelts come the king salmon. Here's Mary Mathias, the Natural Resource Director at the Rutikahamut Native Council in Bethel.
With the recent harvest, we caught some huge ones that were like kind of big, like bigger than normal. Mm-hmm. And I teased my husband. I said, look, we caught a steak.
Alaska is a fish state. Huge political battles take place over protecting salmon habitat. But smelt are different. There aren't a lot of studies on smelt in the Kuskokwim River. And that could be a problem, according to Dave Cannon, a retired fish biologist who lives in Aniak and opposes the mine. one of the world's biggest gold mines could be built not far from Aniak. Donlin Gold is trying to build it in a remote location in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, so it must barge supplies up to the Kuskokwim River during the summer. Here's Dave Cannon.
Up until recently, we didn't know a whole lot about them until 2014 and 15, when there were some studies done, pretty rigorous studies, tied in with the Donlin project.
But Cannon says that doesn't mean the company has enough data to tell how an increase in barge traffic would impact the fish. He says there needs to be more studies. But collecting that data can be a challenge, because the smelt run doesn't last long.
The fact that they're only here for a short period, if it was possible to document, you know, their numbers, their abundance, or their actual population levels, you'd have to focus real hard just for those couple days.
Donlin Gold says it's aware of those problems. Christina Woolston is the company's spokesperson. She says Donlin had to start from scratch to study smelt habitat during the environmental review process.
To our knowledge, this has never been done before. It's not a project or a program that's funded by the state or federal government.
The Donlin studies have shown waves from the barges can push the smelt eggs around. And if water levels in the river are very low, that exposes the eggs even more. This is a huge concern for people in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta who rely heavily on subsistence. Donlin promises to use shallow barges and monitor smelt habitat to keep collecting data.
You have to start somewhere, and by engaging in the smelt study, you know, starting in 2014, we'll have a number of years' worth of data by the time the project finally gets into construction and starts barging.
Cannon and ONC's Matthias think the best solution is if Donlin ceases barge traffic during the time that it takes for the smelt to spawn in the Kuskokwim. But it's unknown if Donlin will go that far, Cannon says, especially since they have a small window to get supplies up to the mine by barge. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schallenberger in Bethel.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Aaron Bolton at KBBI in Homer, Christy Schallenberger with Alaska's Energy Desk, Robert Woolsey at KCAW in Sitka, and Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio. Remember, if you're going to be out on the water, whether you're commercial fishing, sports fishing, or fishing subsistence, be sure to wear a life jacket. If you lose your footing and end up in the water, that life jacket could save your life. For KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.